Well, hello. This week, we bring you a special hate-fueled episode of Boldly Going Nowhere as we devote an entire episode to discussing the travesty that is Transformers Dark of the Moon. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
And I'm Sean Holmes.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere.
Yeah, so Transformers.
There are just so many things. I don't even know if we're gonna be able to get in our normal time length if we're gonna literally piss and moan about what was wrong with that film.
Yeah, this will probably be a shorter episode than usual, but it'll be just as intense.
It will be so intense that Michael Bay will rape your eyeballs, literally rape them.
You mean more than he already has?
Well, he already.
You know what? He raped my eyeballs. I feel like I'm going to ear fuck him with this review. I think that's what I'm going to do.
I am disappointed.
Folks, we're going pretty blue on this one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah.
So
put the kids to bed.
Yeah. Hide the kids. Hide your wife.
Hide your wife.
Lock up your daughters. Shoot your sons. Because Boldly Going to Nowhere is coming to town.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's right. I just went for the love fist joke.
All right, where do
for
we
those
start?
Of you who actually get that reference, I'm impressed.
Very.
Where do we even start with this?
Okay, well, all right, so first and foremost, this week's episode was just going to be a normal one. Justin was going to review a record, do a top five list. I was going to review Transformers Dark of the Moon. And we walked into the theater last night. You know, we were like, now, before, you know, a lot of, you know, I've told people my feelings on this movie already in like the 28 hours that it's been since I've actually seen it. And let's be honest here. Most of the reactions have either been complete agreement or people are like, well, you got to go into it with the right mindset. I'm like, let me make this perfectly clear. I went into this movie knowing full well it was going to be crap. Okay. It's Transformers. I mean, any indication of the first two films, this film could not save the franchise.
Exactly. I went it with my shit expectations also.
Well, Colin, let's be upfront about this. You and I didn't see the second movie.
We didn't see the second film.
I have.
Yeah.
So I knew exactly what I was going in for, and I have this ability to just watch movies because I have a guilty pleasure and it's bad movies. I like to watch them and laugh at them. Like, you know, The Day After Tomorrow, I watched that movie and I laughed my ass off.
Now I
when other people or the other idiots in the theater were so enthralled because, you know, they're shit movies.
Yeah. Now I'll admit I shared the same principle. Okay, I went into 2012 and I laughed my balls off for almost 2.5 hours.
But here's the problem.
I mean, that at least had John.
Here's the problem. You went in with your expectations low, and he even
failed those low expectations.
All right,
I think that's talent to make that a shitty movie so shitty that it like even goes under your expectations.
Allow
sweeps you off your feet.
Yeah. Allow me, if you will, to construct an ill-conceived analogy about this,
okay,
as I always do.
All right.
Yes, everybody out there is going to be like, "What did you expect? It's shit. You should have been expecting shit." And here's the thing: when I go into the bathroom and take a dump, I expect to see shit. What I don't expect to see is blood in my stool, and that is what Transformers 3 is the equivalent of.
It's the equivalent of
taking a dump and finding blood in
your
stool.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Here's the thing: it's like I went in. My expectations were this movie is going to be shit, but hey, I might get a laugh out of it. This movie was like cancer of my anus. Okay? There was no redeeming quality whatsoever. I thought, you know, okay, let's be fair here. The movie had plenty of opportunities to save itself. There were so many things that I might have let it get away with, but even then, it failed at those things.
Well, since this is just going to be a nonstop flow of negativity, let's start right off the bat with the things that possibly could have ended up good. I mean, there's nothing good in this movie, but the things that could have potentially been good.
Let's just get that straight up right now.
Alan Tudyk
nothing
is
good
in this movie.
Alan Tudyk, Wash, is in this movie, and they relegated him to a gay German counterpart to John Turturro.
Yeah. So the one thing that could have redeemed this movie somewhat was still kind of...
The one thing that I liked, I know you're like, Transformers 3? Can't put them together. The one thing I did like, sweet cars. Sweet cars in the dealership. In the dealership, the Roadsters, they're in the spoiler alert.
Yeah, those were nice.
I don't know how you're going to spoil this movie.
Guys.
I don't think I need to alert people to spoil this movie. If I ruin anything, it should be to not see it.
To be fair, okay, and let's be honest here. This, I mean, it's a Transformers movie. You cannot spoil it.
You cannot
spoil it. The
plots
are interchangeable. They're all the same.
Right.
I mean, I could go into a plot. I could go into a plot synopsis, explain it in a paragraph, and be done. Okay. If you want me to, I'll do it. Seriously.
Let's do it just for shits and giggles.
For shits and giggles. Okay.
Shits and gigs.
Let's be honest. All right. Any Transformers movie you're ever gonna see, Sam Witwicky starts the movie off feeling pissy about how bad his life sucks. He falls in love with a love interest with absolutely no personality whatsoever. She's basically a piece of window dressing. Let's be fair. Then the Decepticons come to Earth, start wrecking shit. The Autobots show up and start saving humanity and fighting for truth, justice, and the American way. G.I. Joe. And then Optimus Prime goes on this long, whinging, bloody speech about how war is bad. But yet he's doing this speech while he's ripping a fucking Decepticon in half. And let's be honest here. Boom, boom, pointless explosion. Close up on Megan Fox's tits heaving in slow motion. I mean, this is pretty much all the way up into the end. Autobots win, Decepticons die, and everyone lives happily ever after. Or is it?
Except for the audience.
Oh, God. Okay, now, Sean has now turned the computer towards me because I wrote a rant yesterday right when I got back from the thing.
I highlighted it, and I put it in extra big font. And all you have to do is kind of touch it and scroll down, or I'll do it.
A special treat for you folks.
So
Colin has prepared something in writing.
Special treat.
All right, a special treat for y'all. This is.
You just gotta take your two fingers like this, you know. I know that sounds so horrible to the podcast
listener.
Sean
is currently explaining how to give yourself a prostate exam.
It's right here.
Just take your two fingers like this.
But it's a bit of a stretch, I know.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, he's giving me instructions on not only how to do a prostate exam, but how to correctly fondle a Mac to get it to work.
Yes.
You know, because you got to show it some love.
Steve Jobs will be proud.
Similar concept.
Well, congratulations, Michael. You've turned out yet another pile of absolute shit to the world, and unfortunately, as usual, most are eating it up gangbusters. But this time, I've had enough. You've officially crossed the line. It ends here. Transformers 3 Dark of the Moon is so bad, so putrid, that I wanted to take a spork and scoop out my eyeballs. We're going the fact that I'm never going to be able to watch The Wrath of Khan again without being reminded of this little suckfest. You had the balls to stretch an action movie to a little under 3 hours. 3 hours. For an action film? Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, the huge manatees.
I know, right? This isn't an epic. You're not shooting Ben-Hur, Sunshine. Now, I know that some people are going to come back with the argument that, you know, you have to be in the right mindset for this movie. It's a summer blockbuster. It's an action film, they'll say. To those with this argument, please kindly take your heads, ram them up your asses, because, quite frankly, you must love excrement to kind of enjoy to be the kind of person who would enjoy this movie. And it'll save you $11. The only way you could really enjoy this film, and I mean enjoy this film like most people do, is that you have to have a lobotomy. This is true. Now, normally at this point, I'd say something about the few good points in this film. No such luck, as I'm afraid, because there is nothing good about it. The acting is horrible, the plot is poorly written, the CG is dodgy at times, and the film is riddled with plot holes. Like, for instance, why does a planet materializing in our atmosphere explode and then doesn't leave any debris? Why do the Decepticons claim to need humanity as slave labor and then obliterate every damn human in Chicago?
They don't know logic.
How is Megatron psyched out by a whinging pubescent and then betrays the one ally who can give him what he wants? And more importantly, why is Spock an evil Autobot? More importantly, why the hell is Spock so featured in this movie? I come for Autobots and I get Leonard Nimoy? What the hell? And for those of you who are spamming our email address with comments pissing and moaning about how I just ruined the movie for you, by the way, it's boldly going nowhere at podomatic.com. Fuck you! It's Transformers, for Christ's sake. They're all the same. The plots are interchangeable. You can go back and listen to the fucking plot synopsis I just gave you 5 minutes ago. No. No franchise ever lives happily in movie land. This franchise should have died after the first one. But let's be honest, no one ever lives happy in movie land because Hollywood's got to milk a franchise until it's sour like Uwe Boll. Thank you. But Michael Bay is seriously already at this level, and yet he's still making money. How have we let it get this bad? If in the past, if a director of a blockbuster film went on to make a series of shitty movies, people wouldn't go see their films anymore. This is a proven fact. But now we've become so desensitized as to what's good and what's bad, films are turning into a bland, homogenized mess that just lures us to theaters with the promise of tits and explosions. Now, no one's ever complaining about it anymore. Well, seriously, after Transformers 3, I'm never ever going to partake in another one of Michael Bay's films. I renounce him for what he is. And what he is contributing to the downfall of American, if not world, cinema. Okay?
He's a charlatan.
He
a
is.
Fraud.
I will boycott every bloody atrocity that he commits against celluloid. And mind you, they are atrocities. I mean, there are people at Gitmo who aren't as guilty as this prick. Seriously, someone needs to start holding directors accountable for really shitty movies, because quite frankly, if we don't, we're never going to get anything good again. If you feel as I feel, go start spreading the word. Go to Twitter. Go to Facebook. Go to the blog that only you and your mom read. I mean, seriously, go to a street corner. Heed my warning. Tell your friends, because remember, friends don't let friends watch Michael Bay.
Oh, awesome.
Thank you. Well done. All right.
Awesome.
But I mean awesome. It's seriously, I mean, we could literally go on for hours as to how there was nothing in this film even slightly redeemable. I mean, Leonard Nimoy is a solid actor, but yet they kept throwing so many references to better movies.
I still have stuff left in my ass. Hold on a second. Okay, that's better. Wait. Okay, it's out. It's out now.
Okay. You good?
Yeah, it's good.
All right.
Sorry.
It's a little unprofessional, but
that's
we'll
okay.
Allow it.
We'll forgive
allow it.
Given
we'll
the
allow
nature
it.
Of this episode.
Given to the subject matter.
It sort of sounds like an anal thing.
Well, I mean, look, given the point that the subject matter is not too far above what you just did.
Well, this episode is more so a throwaway for terms of what's that? Structure?
It's just, I mean, normally we do our little reviews of stuff, and it's just, there's nothing to review. This movie is just straight up explosions and tits for an hour, and here's the thing: if it was an hour and a half, the normal length for any action film, it could possibly be forgiven.
Right.
But it was 3 hours.
You don't get to be 3 hours long unless you're like Gone with the Wind.
I mean, yeah, seriously. Even Gladiator, which was a good epic, was a good action film, didn't have the balls to go 3 hours. It barely went 2 hours.
Which again, ugh. You can't make the argument that, oh, it's just a mindless action film because it's three hours long. If you turned off your brain for 3 hours long, you would be declared legally dead.
Pretty much.
Jeez.
I mean, my biggest problem is people are going to be like, you know, you got to go into the movie theater with the right mindset. See, the thing is, I go to the movies to be entertained. And yeah, explosions and titties play to my basic drives in life, you know, sex and violence. Okay, I can get that. That's understandable. But if all you have is sex drive and explosions, quite frankly, it gets old after the first hour. 3 hours of it is not gonna.
It was a little intense. A little meaning a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
I mean, like, seriously, that final battle scene, quite frankly, takes up almost an hour.
I mean, that's almost long enough to be a movie itself.
Yeah. From the time that the Decepticons landed fucking Chicago, it could have been a movie on its own.
And why Chicago? I don't. Of all the cities, they could have taken over.
Why is Chicago always getting the shit end of the stick?
Yeah, I mean,
and
nothing,
Earth for that matter.
Nothing good ever happens in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, seriously. I mean, look at the list of cities. I mean, look at the list of movies that Chicago has just gotten right fucked up. Let's see. Transformers 3, Dark of the Moon. Blues Brothers.
Dark Knight.
Dark Knight.
The movie Chicago.
The movie Chicago.
All right, I'm going to tell you how much it earned, or how much it earned, and how much they spent on it.
Okay.
And you get the guess. So, how much you think it earned U.S.?
Are we talking opening weekend? Or are we talking so far?
Talking so far.
Oh,
when did
God.
It come out?
$500 million.
I'm gonna say $600 million.
You're very close to the worldwide. $228 million.
Worldwide
for U.S. international is 296. Both those add together to $525 million worldwide.
Worldwide,
and
I'll see
how
much
it costs to make.
I'm looking that up right now. Keep going with how shitty it
was. I mean, okay, you know what? I'm going to say this right now. You know, I contributed $22 to that, and quite frankly, I seriously want my money back. I mean, that movie presented absolutely nothing entertaining.
Yeah, there's not a single character that you can empathize with.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem. I mean, you know, the movie's called Transformers. You'd think we'd actually, you know, identify with the fucking robots that the movie is based on. But yet, I don't find any of those characters likable.
Well, I want to you know, be honest about one thing here. I was never a Transformers fan to begin with. It's not like I loved, you know, it's not like I watched the show as a kid. It's not like I played with the toys. My prior relationship to Transformers before the first movie was nil. And the height of my enjoyment in the series came 30 seconds into the very first movie when I was sitting in the theater and the Transformers title came up on the screen and some jackass two rows behind us yelled, "Where's Optimus Prime?" That is the most enjoyment I have gotten out of the entire
funny
series.
Funny as shit.
I mean, the problem is, most people, you know, of course, they made these films based on the fact that it's gonna seriously play into the people's nostalgia. That's all it is. That's its only reason for existence. I mean, quite frankly, that was the only reason for its existence when it was a toy line. It was just a way to milk your parents for more money.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things about the Transformers themselves that I don't really know, I don't really understand. Nor do I really care. I don't really need someone to explain these things to me. I'm just, the things that confuse me, let's see, the whole teleportation thing. Why did they need to teleport the entire planet? Why couldn't they teleport all the humans? I mean, is this like with Terminator, is it like the opposite of the teleportation technology?
No, because see, here's the thing.
Because in Terminator, you can only teleport organic material. Is this like the opposite?
But see, there's the thing. There are some metals that are considered organic. So,
well, what are Transformers? Are they machines or are they?
We have local friends sorry to interrupt the thing, but we have our friends that in our friend circle that actually reviewed this movie on Rotten Tomatoes. Do you want to hear from Zach Patterson or Kale?
Well, I know Kale's was pretty vicious. So.
Kale's was probably pretty vicious.
Kale's is like half a star, like the lowest you could possibly go.
Yeah, I'd like to hear
Zach
that.
Zach Patterson was like three. I want to go for the lower one.
Let's go over Kale's.
Go to Kale's.
Actually, let's hear Zach's first since it was actually somewhat positive.
All right, so we'll do that one first.
Right, let's go with Zach's first and then go to Kale's.
Here we go. Boom, 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 boom. Where is he? God damn it.
Come on, Sean.
Sorry.
Get with it.
You're supposed to be the tech savvy one here, man.
I know. It's just...
You're supposed to be the Ironhide.
I am the Ironhide?
No. No. You know what? No.
I don't want to be Ironhide.
Good.
He kicks the bucket, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I give a
Spoiler.
Shit. Seriously, if I hear if any single person who listens to this show sends me a fucking email about spoilers,
you don't get to complain about.
All right,
spoilers.
Here it is.
All right,
yeah.
Zach Patterson writes: run of the mill big budget summer action kill explode movie, visually stunning with insane action sequences that are pretty sure to keep you entertained. The voice acting, especially Leonard Nimoy, was actually excellent. It was pretty much where my complaints and. This is another movie that was restrained by its pre-production. The story was well-rounded, but the characters can't fall into it as well as they should. There are too many primary villains trying to announce themselves, as well as the many new Autobots that have shown up without any kind of explanation. As a result, this film falls to fully develop some of the major characters, particularly the villains like Shockwave and Patrick Dempsey's character, whose name I have already forgotten, kind of my point. This is a terrible movie. In fact, it's a huge step forward from the last film, which was a terrible, terrible movie, but it's worth seeing at least once, but I would aim for 3D. I would aim for 3D or IMAX. Otherwise, you're kind of wasting your time. I feel like this isn't a review. It's more of an appeal to reboot the film series as a director.
No.
That's focused on making a good film instead of finding places in the script where he can insult Megan Fox. Kind of childish, just saying.
I would agree with one thing. This movie was visually stunning in the same way that pepper spray to the face is visually stunning.
I mean, seriously, I looked at the CG in the first film and I saw this movie and I was like, holy God, they've actually regressed.
Now you want to hear what Kale has to say. Zach's was 3 stars. His is like a quarter, like two hands of a star, like two points of an actual star. Not even a...
Not even an entire star.
Not even a half a star.
He rated as lowest as you can. Like, he's basically... It's a movie. Anyway.
It's a movie. It's some kind of movie.
I called it a new term. It's a shit movie. A shoovie.
A shoovie.
Shoovie, because you want to shove it in the trash and shove it up the director's ass.
Like, I will say this. I will go... Before he reads this review, I'm going to say this on record. I've never left a movie theater more angry in my entire life. Ever.
As the guy sitting next to you in the theater, I can attest to that.
I mean, seriously, I left the theater.
Fuck.
Seriously, this movie.
God, what is your shit?
This movie pissed me off more than Avatar. People who know me know that Avatar pissed me the hell off. But this movie's even worse. I actually seriously wanted to get in my car last night and drive 3,000 miles to California and punch Michael Bay right in the face. Why? Because he ruined 3 hours of my life. I'm never going to get that time back.
No one will. All right, let's hear Kale's review.
Absolutely horrible. Absolutely no redeeming qualities at all. None. I gladly watched Sucker Punch 8 times than have watched this absolutely moronic, insulting, and borderline mentally challenged film again. Goes way past leave your brain at the door and deceives headfirst into absolute cinema and sensory massacre. In short, this movie is complete and utter trash. The only reason it's a 0.5 is because it won't allow you to rate movies as 0 or below this movie's case. In this movie's case.
See, what does that tell you?
Yeah, that tells me that
we're not alone.
That we're not alone. I didn't talk to you before about this. Like, we just kind of talked about it, and I had the thing, leave your brain at the door. But now that I start to think about the movie and the Star Trek thing kind of pushed me over the line. Why?
See, the thing is, and the thing that annoys me is, I'm somehow thinking that this is just some illusion that Michael Bay is going to direct the next Star Trek film.
There were a couple, like...
I mean, because so many allusions and so many hints are dropped of Star Trek, and it couldn't just be that fucking Leonard Nimoy was in this movie. Yeah. It couldn't be.
Well, I feel like they were just allusions to the fact that Leonard Nimoy was in this movie, that he was in Star Trek.
See, that's what I thought.
The two little annoying racist robots, or whatever they are sitting on the couch and they're watching an episode of Star Trek, and the one goes, oh, I've seen this one. This is the one where Spock goes crazy.
Right, but then Spock starts spouting... Sentinel Prime or Spock... I mean, Spock, for fuck's sake. I mean, he starts spouting dialogue from Wrath of Khan. If I wanted to watch Wrath of Khan, I wouldn't have gone to the theater and spent $11. I have the DVD. I could have watched it myself. Why would I want to watch Wrath of Khan? Why would I want to watch a much better film?
So... Let's go into some more specific details, because mostly what we've done now is generalize about the fact that the movie sucks. But if we can pick out some specific scenes or specific elements, I can start with a couple.
Go ahead.
First of all, why did the Autobots wait until after the entire city of Chicago had been destroyed and most of its inhabitants killed to make their appearance?
Okay, now this was a question he actually asked me as we were leaving the theaters yesterday. And I tried to put some sort of rational slant on it as I was still somewhat in a state of, you know, uncomfortable rage. I wasn't yet ready to blow, but I was a cauldron of seething rage, but I wasn't ready to blow my top yet. But I think my answer to that question was something along the lines of, oh, they were in Florida, and then they had to drive to fucking Illinois, you know. But apparently Optimus Prime is a fucking flight rig.
Yeah,
why the hell couldn't he have flown there? Why couldn't they all have just flown there?
All right, here's my kind of, like, complaint that a lot of people overlooked. Okay, his apartment and the place he's in.
Yeah.
Why did people, they don't know anything about Washington, D.C.? That's not an apartment from Washington, D.C.
No,
that
way.
Is an apartment from fucking the Upper East Side of Manhattan. That is what that apartment is. And, like, they're visiting, like, it's the nation's capital. That's not fucking D.C.
No, I've been to D.C.
Oh, my God.
Let's be fair here. Aside from the monuments and the parks, D.C. is a shithole.
It's surrounded by shit.
Yeah, it is the worst.
There is no way you'd be able to drive an RV through the streets of
D.C. Take a drive through Manassas, Virginia. Like, it's Hispanics and fast food chains.
Yeah, literally, drive to Washington, D.C. with an RV like that and then leave it out. Just leave it there. See what happens.
I mean, they wouldn't even be able to get it through the city. I mean, that D.C. is one of the most confusing cities there is to drive through. They would not have been able to navigate
through it. You know how they created this? They took spaghetti pickup sticks. They threw it on the ground like this. Wham! And they're like, all right, now draw that. That is the outline of the roads for the city. That's it.
That's a pretty accurate description.
That is what I think about D.C. Mm-hmm. D.C. And it makes no fucking sense. Everything's it's also to rail the Capitol building. I'm like, that's fucking horrible way to do it.
Yeah.
Like, ah!
The most inaccessible capital city on the face of the planet Earth.
It really is. And it was designed that way. It's not like it was an accident.
Yeah. It's like the most dangerous place to drive in the entire world.
Well, I don't know.
Well, entire U.S. Entire U.S. is the most dangerous place to drive.
Because you go to somewhere like, I don't know, like Istanbul or Beijing.
Well,
or
yeah, obviously.
You're talking about
like our
day-long, like multi-day-long traffic
or Bangkok.
Jams or Bangkok or something. Like
Bangkok has them.
But for a U.S. city, yeah, D.C. is one of the worst places to drive.
Yeah.
Which is why no one, like everybody who works in D.C., commutes from outside.
Yeah, everybody who works in D.C. has the common sense to fucking take the metro in.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're getting off track a little bit. Back to this
trans-assers.
So, did you find how much the movie cost to make?
No, because Paramount is being a fucktard.
Just go to the Wikipedia page.
Wikipedia.
He probably is on Wikipedia. And they're probably
They always have the budget right in the little sidebar.
All
right.
So look at.
Just look at. Yeah.
Yeah. If it costed any more than $100 million, I'm quite frankly going to be fucking disappointed.
Oh, that's way under. I can already. I mean, well, let's.
Because I mean, the first Transformers movie,
Avatar, cost $500 million, right? $500 million. So let's see where it compares to that.
All right, you ready?
All right, I'm ready.
So guesses, Colin, go.
I'm gonna give it 250 billion. I mean, 250 million.
I'm gonna say 125 million.
Overbid. Colin, underbid, Justin, $195 million.
$195 million. So right. So my first estimate of 100 million wasn't too far off, but quite frankly, I saw the first film, which I know had a lesser budget. But quite frankly,
that's a lot of money.
That had the more convincing CG in it.
Well, I just
If you go and look at the fucking movie now, if you look at Transformers 3, the CG in that film sucks.
Well, based on that information, I'm willing to state that as the culmination of Michael Bay's masturbatory, self-indulgent trilogy, Transformers 3 is going down as the most expensive orgasm of all time.
That's pretty impressive.
That is amazing.
That's pretty impressive. I didn't think anybody was going to be able to top Charlie Sheen's Build a Heidi Fleiss.
Hi-o!
I know. That's obscure. I only think three of our listeners are actually going to get that joke. I don't care, though.
Someone's laughing in their car and or cubicle.
Yep. You know what? We should totally hash mark Charlie Sheen on this shit. He'll probably comment on it.
I think, yeah.
Totally.
He'll have something to
hashtag
say.
Hashtag Charlie Sheen.
Hashtag Charlie Sheen.
Truth torpedo
or hashtag winning.
Oh man, all right,
let's see what else.
No, okay, this is something we were mentioning earlier, but definitely you can't empathize with the Autobots because quite frankly, you know,
they're kind of dumb,
they're kind of idiots. Yeah, they're kind of idiots. And you can
also, why are there so, could someone explain to me why there are so many more Decepticons than there are Autobots, other than the fact
that is an excellent
they're the
question.
Villains and thus there have to be more of them?
The part of the beginning of the movie, it looks like Megatron is fucking raising them in like the African bush.
Why does the machine need a cloak? Here's the thing. Why are they fucking Africa? No one explains this. Why the fuck are they in Africa?
I was hoping you'd explain that because you saw the second one. Yeah. So I assumed they ended up there.
Did they end up in Africa? Because they were in Egypt at the end, weren't they?
See, here's the thing. And you know, on those, like, majority of those plot points, I kind of, you know,
based out.
Repressed them.
Yeah.
I repress movies. Like, we were watching RoboCop 3 earlier today, and I was like, I totally forgot how stupid it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I don't get it. I mean, if they all came from the same planet and the planet was, like, mostly destroyed, where are all these Decepticons coming from?
And where did the planet come from that comes crashing in at the end?
Yeah. Another thing, what's the point of having that many Decepticons? Because the one thing I thought of that whole movie is, wow, Shockwave is the most badass Transformer there, like, of all of them. Autobots and Decepticons together. Like, that giant tunneling, drilling worm thing is more powerful than the entire rest of the Decepticon forces
exactly.
put together. Why didn't they just use that thing for everything?
And why did Steve Buscemi and the whatever the little fucktard was just wreck the ship? They're just like, they found a way inside and they start taking shit apart. That was their redeeming. That was their vengeance.
No, there was no redeeming quality. They died. That was their redeeming.
They died.
Quality.
That was their redeeming.
And
quality.
It was like. And Steve Buscemi's character could have died in a better way than
I will admit I did actually kind of chuckle when the ship's going down and the wise cracking one is like, well, it's been an honor serving with you, my friend, and the other one's just like, we gonna die. I did kind of chuckle at that.
I mean, I'm laughing now because quite frankly, just his impersonation of that line
it
is
was
just
basically
so
Sling Blade. Yeah. It was Steve Buscemi and Sling Blade.
Just nuts.
We gonna die. Need
some ranch rod potatoes.
We gonna die.
We gonna die.
He seriously sounded like Sling Blade.
See, and the sad thing was, you know, I make it a point of mine because Sean and I, you know, went to school for editing and we went to school for film. And so I make it a point to watch every fucking movie I go to the bloody end, whether there's something there or not.
Yeah, because you have to give them their full chance, whether that be down to the last 2 minutes or not, you know,
out of all the films I've ever gone to, I literally, seriously, I almost got up and broke that rule. I almost did. I didn't. I stayed till the end.
All right.
But God damn it, was it difficult.
I have a question for you two guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who do you think was the less convincing impersonation in this movie? JFK or Obama? Which one do you think was
JFK,
less convincing?
By far.
JFK, oh my...
Both in terms of look and sound.
JFK.
It's like if an off company of one of those animation studios shit out something, had Pixar eat it, then shit out all over a copy of Forrest Gump, which has some president CGI, then you would have that fucking horrible CGI JFK.
I was like, what
the fuck was that?
Era. I'm not sure.
Might as well have Mayor Quimby from The Simpsons. I mean,
you better. No one leaves Diamond Joe Quimby in the wind.
The only one the only person that looked real, and obviously that was like a double, was the Richard Nixon. He's
the only one who looked anything realistically close to what the film was.
Because
showing.
He was very he wasn't kept on the 5 o'clock shadow, like, you know, in the.
And you know what? Yeah. This is all right. Here's what I'm going to say. Now, this is probably. You know what I think it is? All the problems I had with this movie, you know, one of the things I hated the most, probably the biggest part I loathed about this movie was, okay, there's a secret military program, right?
Right.
So we flew astronauts to the moon to research the fucking wreckage of an Autobot ship that crashed on the moon, right?
And this is super, super secret, secret, secret,
okay,
stupid stuff.
So here's my point, okay? I don't care, like, seriously, how secretive this fucking project is. After the first time Megatron showed up, why wouldn't you tell them about this? Why? What is the point?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really.
I mean, seriously, it's like, you know, okay, you know for a fact there are evil robots. You know for a fact that there is a ship that they could easily plunder for resources, and you don't know if they know about it. So wouldn't you want to tell the one ally that could assist you that such a ship exists? Maybe. But yet they wait through the first movie, They wade through the second movie, and then they just left for them in the third movie after Optimus calls them out on it. Plus the fact that I think, honestly, the biggest slap in the face is that they turned the fucking space program into a like a government conspiracy. More so than it already people claim it is.
Yeah, it's like, that's nothing new.
Well, I mean, no. There's a difference between saying, oh, we faked the moon landing in Arizona. We just flipped the black and white sensor. Yeah, whatever. Or, you know, there's the one that, you know, people are like, you know, oh, we faked the moon landing. But this is, oh, no. We landed on the moon, but we landed on the moon to plunder alien technology.
How long do you think those Decepticons were hiding under the underground in the moon? Because, like, there was, like, 100 of them that popped up.
Like the moon was made of Decepticons.
Yeah. I thought it was made of green cheese.
Would you eat the moon if it was made of space?
Hi! Would you eat the moon if it were made of barbecue spare ribs? Anyway, no. Here's another thing. Not only are they like
Sparadron.
Yeah, well, not only are they slapping the space program right in the face, but I mean, they fucking brought in Buzz Aldrin. Yeah, what the fuck?
I think someone needs to contact the AARP about that, because that is a serious.
That's like elder abuse, dude.
Yeah,
that's
not cool.
That
is an elderly abuse.
That is not cool.
Not cool at all.
I think seriously, the reason why NASA's only launching their last space shuttle now is because they lost so much fucking publicity and being in conjunction with this movie.
Yeah. It's
ain't nothing gonna save you. Ain't nothing gonna save you when you're looking like assholes in a Michael Bay film.
There's not a lot that can redeem that. Jesus Christ himself could not save this movie.
Well, see, that's the thing. No one, I mean, seriously, remember, all Transformers fans don't believe in Jesus Christ. They believe in Optimus Prime as their Lord and Savior. So they're fucked either way.
I will say something like this.
All right.
Wait.
911 emergency. My car's been stolen. I'm in pursuit, right? I need all units. The whole squadron. Bring everyone. No, don't ask me questions, all right? My father's the head of the neighborhood. Watch.
Yeah, stop it. Anyway. Anyway, that was Shia LaBeouf. And I have to say, anything Shia LaBeouf touches turns to shit. He has the anti-Midas touch. Any movie he's in turns to shit.
Examples.
Transformers, you know, was shit to begin with, but he turned it shittier than shit. I don't know how you can do that. Shit's like the...
As it progresses, he got whingier and whingier, and it just...
During the trailer, he screams Optimus about so many times.
There's at least
Optimus!
One point in every
Optimus!
Trailer where he yells Optimus.
I almost want to play the trailer.
Do
not play the trailer.
But, no. I mean, was there anyone more unlikable in this movie, honestly, than Shia LaBeouf himself? The protagonist was the most unlikable character in this movie. He was just a jerk to everyone.
Actually, if I may. You know what's sad? You know what? I never thought I'd look back at Transformers and actually miss Megan Fox. But God, the love interest in this movie. Ugh.
So dull.
Her lips look like two fucking maggots protruding from an orifice that which she calls a mouth.
Wow.
That's pretty harsh, but actually a pretty adept description.
No, Angelina Jolie in The Tourist had thinner lips than this bitch.
Wow, that's pretty bad.
And there was nothing 3D in that movie.
And what the hell was up with John Malkovich in this movie? I don't...
I like the yellow cup. That's a red cup and the yellow floor.
That entire sequence, his entire character was...
Tacked on and pointless.
To use the nostalgia critics' terms, he was basically a big-lipped alligator moment.
Yeah, seriously, they wheeled him out for absolutely no reason.
And
just like literally for star power, they literally like wheeled him out. Hey, everyone, it's John Malkovich. Applaud.
Like, and why did he come over and try to have a boxing match with Bumblebee?
Fucking Bumblebee. It looks his face. John Malkovich's face looks like if a New York City taxi cab driver sat on a leather glove to break it in. Then you take it out, punch it a few times, and try to make a face out of it. That was basically how he looked.
That was funny. I thought you were describing Megan Fox there for a moment.
That's her vagina.
Oh!
Boom, boom.
That was
I'm gonna say, hey, where, huh?
Low blow, would you say?
Well, she wouldn't feel it down there anyway, I guess.
Yeah, hot dog in a hallway, man.
It's just starting to get a little mean, but
well, you know what? I don't know what I fuck. Like Transformers has made me pissed.
Megan Fox has a bajillion dollars because she can take care of herself.
Oh yeah, I mean seriously, yeah. I mean, let's be fair here.
Even though every she did get fired,
Who cares? Like she even needs to work for the rest of her life.
No, I'm glad that she did.
Her vagina is the Cave of Wonders. Who woken my spun?
Well, it's the Cave of Wonders after Cave Aladdin takes that gem.
Yeah, it's the Cave of Wonders after it's
no,
been
that's when she gets hot flashes.
Yeah.
It's the lava.
Hey.
Whoa.
Hey, Sean. It's the Cave of Wonders after it's been plundered. Just an unyielding maw of nightmares. Eight men go in.
I know we're talking
out.
About Megan Fox's vagina, but it has, you know, it still has to deal with Transformers and how stupid.
This has been Megan Fox's vagina talk here on Boldly Going Nowhere.
See, the problem is we can't put in a fucking
WW.
See, the problem is we can't put in a fucking echo effect on our goddamn, you know, or on our goddamn mics right now, or else you'd understand the gaping void that is Megan Fox's vagina.
Okay,
I was looking up soundboards to see if I could
echo.
It could make everything echo. Echo. Ka ka ka. And the listener just left the building.
Meh.
They probably
the
left
car.
A while.
Meh. Whatever.
let's be completely honest. Whatevs.
Whatevs. I didn't come in. I didn't come into this episode to entertain people. I came into this came into this episode to bitch.
This was a cathartic experience.
It's
for
just
us.
Nuts. Honestly. Absolutely bonkers.
And you know what? You know what? I honestly I do feel a little better now.
You know what? I actually think we need to take this fight to Michael Bay.
I think that's the next step.
I think, as of right now, we are going to start Boldly Going Nowhere, the participants of which are going to start a Facebook group. And this group will be called...
Michael Bay, We Want Our Money Back for Transformers 3.
Exactly. And we're going to take the image from South Park's version of Michael Bay and put him right up there as the main picture. I think that will do.
Yep.
And as soon as this podcast ends, that's exactly what I'm doing.
Well, yep. let's go ahead and wrap this up. I want to say now that we've gotten this out of our system, from this point forward, we will never discuss Transformers, Michael Bay, or anything related on this podcast ever again. In fact, it is taboo. From this point forward, it is taboo to mention any of those terms.
Yeah. We're going, you know what it's going to be?
Verboten.
It's verboten. It's going to be the Voldemort of our
He who shall not be named,
the film that shall not be named.
Yeah. So, I hope if any of you, you know, were unfortunate enough to see Transformers 3 also, I hope that this review has been cathartic for you as well.
I would suggest that if you have seen Transformers 3 and you agree with our opinion, then I strongly suggest you join the Facebook group, Michael Bay, Give Us Our Money Back for Transformers 3.
Yep.
We'll link it up on the Boldly Going Nowhere Facebook page, the Twitter account. And if you disagree with the review... If you disagree with this podcast, today's podcast, and you'd like to complain, by all means, go ahead and start spamming our email address, boldlygoingnowhere@podomatic.com.
Exactly.
And you know what? Next week, you know what? We'll do you guys a favor.
Be
aware. Actually, we'll read some of your messages online. We'll read some of your messages on air. How's that sound?
Be aware.
And if you're really what do you say? Be aware.
I was gonna say, be aware that if you do disagree with this review, that you are officially more wrong than any human being has ever been in the history of mankind.
Uh-huh.
and here's the thing. What's coming up on the BS Reviews podcast is we're going to have a Derek and Derek review. Derek being my nephew, who's 8. So through the eyes of an 8-year-old, and then through the eyes of an older person about my age, who's also named Derek. Mm-hmm. And so they're both going to review that via Skype. So we're gonna have that going on. So if you're disappointed with our review, go to Derek and Derek's review on BS Reviews Podcast.
And BS Reviews Podcast can be found on our Twitter account. We are friends with them.
Yes, you can go through
or you can go through the Boldly Going Nowhere Facebook page. We'll also set up a link there for us.
Yep, and I'll set up the link for Boldly Going Nowhere Podcast so we can be mutually plugged. So
all right. Well, now that we've got that out of the way, I think it's time that we go watch a good movie to cleanse our palate. So until next time, I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
And I'm Sean Holmes.
And we are Boldly Going Nowhere.
Outro.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Los Tres Monos production.
Frankly, everybody was harmed in the production of this one.
For the love of manatees!